Sega's Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here, and today I am joined by the King Fat Boy, part of the Bodega, Mr. Papo Esco. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me on here.
Well, I'm excited to have you because I can actually now say that CWFH, which you've been a part of for a long time, has been, you know, a very enjoyable product. But also through Marquez, we now have that United Wrestling Network, which is, you know, just been a wonderful thing. And you and Danny Limelight are now tag team champions, man. How does that hit you, brother?
I mean, you know, I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you it didn't feel pretty good. You know, that was the goal as soon as me and Danny got together, man. You know what I mean? We wanted that United Wrestling Network tag team title. We wanted to hold that title, hold that distinction. Because, you know, we want to elevate. We want to elevate that title. We want to elevate that division. Yeah. And we're hoping that us having those belts and us causing a ruckus like only, you know, we know how to do, you know, that'll bring out the talent, you know, that'll bring out the any top tag team you could think of out there that'll you know, come give us a run for our money.
What for you, you know, think about what got you into wrestling. What for you is the key that, you know, started your pathway towards professional wrestling?
Oh man. So it's a pretty long story. So I'll tell you what, I'll go through this as fast as I can.
Sure.
I'm like everybody else, man. You know, I became a fan of professional wrestling from a young age, you know, ever since I could remember. You know, there's not one moment I could probably tell you that would say, man, I love wrestling.
Right.
You know, there's probably not one moment that can tell you, that would tell you that I wanted to be a professional wrestler. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different, you know, scenarios. So just like everybody else, you know, I'm sure you've interviewed people before that would tell you, you know, yo, after high school, I went and I found me this school, and then I started training, and this is what it was. But that really didn't happen like that for me. I mean, I did want to finish high school and go find a training facility. For me, that would have been all pro wrestling, you know, in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I was getting in a lot of trouble, you know. I'm probably the poster child for how, you know, inner city kids grow up, you know, like no father figure. Mom is a single mother. She's working 3-4 jobs. When she does come home, she's going to sleep so she can get up and rest for those three, four jobs, you know. So
yeah.
When she was gone or she was asleep, I went outside, you know, and I didn't live in a good neighborhood. So, you know, the trouble came. I did graduate from high school, but I also graduated into a higher level of trouble.
Sure.
So wrestling took a pause, you know. Fast forward to all that, I met somebody who changed my life. You know, my wife, she changed my life. She put me on a different path. And you know, even though we got together young, and even though, you know, we started our life together young, she really, you know, kind of calmed me down a little bit, you know.
Sure.
So she was able to give me two beautiful kids, you know, a son and a daughter. And we had those kids young. And, you know, life after trouble got in the way of wrestling, then life got in the way of wrestling.
Yeah.
So the reason why I'm telling you all this is, you know, one day I'm talking with my kids, you know, because I said I had my kids young, so they're older now. You know, my,
sure,
my son is 17 and my daughter is 19. what, maybe 7-8 years ago, something like that. I don't know. I can't remember how, what, when it was, but we was talking one day and, you know, I'm telling them, you know, hey, you could do anything you want in life. If you put your mind to it. Like there's no other way around it. You know, if you put your mind to something, you write it down, you cluster it. How do I get there? You're going to be able to get there. You know, you can do anything you want. Well, this must have been the let's make fun of dad day, because they was like, ha ha, dad, I don't even want to hear what you got to say. You know, you're talking something I can't even understand right now. And I was like, man, I'll show you. I said, I could prove it to you. I could prove to you that if you put your mind to something, you can do anything you want in life. I said, and I'll make it so far-fetched that when I achieve it, I will prove to you. You know, so I thought about it. I said, what haven't I done that I've always wanted to do in wrestling? Circle back. So I was like, yo, okay, well, I'm gonna do it. I went and I found a training academy, Pro Wrestling Revolution Training Academy in the Bay Area.
Sure.
And they brought me in, they trained me up, and I was able to wrestle my first match for them. And I guess the rest is history, man. You know, so all of this that I've done so far, you know, which isn't much, to be quite honest with you. You know, I'm just getting started. Well, I'm not just getting started, but I'm just getting my feet wet when it comes to like the elevation of me. You know, this was all just a challenge, you know, not only a challenge for myself, but a challenge to my kids to let them know, you know, you can do anything you want if you put your mind to it, you know, and it's not that hard, you know. Not to say professional wrestling isn't hard, but achieving your goals is not hard. So it's a lesson to everybody that's listening. You could do anything you want in life. You put your mind to it. There's nothing out of reach. You can get there. You just got to put the work in, and you gotta stay the course, you know?
Yeah, no, that's what I love about that, you know, message is the fact that when you have children, obviously the thing you want for them is for them to succeed. You want to see them, yeah, you know, enjoy their life, be successful, and hopefully, yeah, you know, go on to, you know, maybe have a family, whatever they want to do. And what is really, I think, nice about the story and about how you were older getting into it was the fact that you weren't coming at it where a lot of kids come at it, you know, at 18, 19 years old, and their expectations of being stars is, you know, I just want to be on TV. I just want to, you know, I just want to be a, yeah, champion. I just want to be in the WWE. Whereas you had that reality. When I started training, I was, about 24, 25. Okay. And it was the same type of thing. I'd met Al Snow, and Al and I had a chance to just have a brief, nice little conversation, amongst friends privately. And, I was an actor and I really wanted to try it. And he said, do it, because if you don't do it now, you might regret it, you know? And it's true, because when you look at trying to do something you want to do, whether it be as a career or as something that you just don't want to look back 20 years, you know, later and go, man, I wish I would have done this. And, you know, hearing the idea that you were able to not only get into the ring and train, but have that first match, and now you're stepping up that ladder. For your perspective coming into it, being older, being a little wiser, how was it for you, A, to understand the psychology of things, and B, how was it on you physically, because a lot of times when, you know, again, when kids start 18 years old, you can take a bump, but you're 25, 28, 32, you start taking those bumps and you're like, man, this is fucking killing me, man. What was it like,
man? Yeah. So, you know, I may not have started as early as most, you know, but I mean, I watch wrestling all the time, you know, even though, you know, wrestling took a backseat to life and troubles and whatever, you know, that doesn't mean that I didn't turn the TV on and watch it. That doesn't mean I didn't go on YouTube and watch it. You know, I mean, the reality is you can watch wrestling as much as you can, you know, and you can get an idea of how it works. You know, I liken wrestling to movies, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, you watch movies, you know, you have a beginning, you have a middle, you have an end, you have a part where the bad guy, you know, takes over for the good guy. You have a part where the bad guy is just on the good guy, and you feel like there's no hope left. And then at some last ditch effort, the good guy comes back, and then yeah, he wins the day. I mean, it's an easy story, and it's a story that can be told all across, you know, all forms of entertainment, whether it be basketball, you know, football, soccer, movies, yeah. TV shows, cartoons. You could find the psychology of professional wrestling, any of that, you know, and it's, it was easy for me to understand it, but make no mistake, a lot of professional wrestlers will tell you that it doesn't matter how involved you are and how much you think you understand professional wrestling, you don't really get the ins and outs of anything as far as the psychology and all that stuff that goes behind it of the business of professional wrestling until you actually get into the business of professional wrestling.
Right.
I never allowed myself to think that I knew anything. So I would silently believe that I understood the ins and outs, but I also knew that I wasn't going to know every single thing until I actually started doing it and saw the other side of the curtain.
Right.
You know? So as far as the psychology is concerned, you know, it's somewhat easy to understand, but you never really get it until, you know, you become a professional wrestler. So when these cats say, yo, you're just I hate using this word, but I'll use it for the sake of the conversation. Hey, you smart Mark, or you Mark, you know, you don't know what's going on because you ain't done it. To a degree, that's true. But I mean, we don't need to be that shitty when we, oh, I'm sorry. Can I curse?
Yeah, of course, man.
We don't need to be that shitty when we say that, you know, I mean, when we try to say, you know, a better way of saying it is like, look, until you walk a mile in our shoes, you're really not going to understand the full capacity of what you love and what you love to watch from the fans' perspective. Now, as far as the training, man, you know, I've been scrapping, you know, clawing, you know, and fighting all my life. So I fell down more times than I've stood up on my own 2 feet, but I get back up, you know,
yeah.
It hurts when you fall. And I don't mean that in like a, you know, I mean that in a literal sense, you know,
right.
You know, it just happens throughout life, especially when you grow up rough. So, coming in, I didn't really have a problem with falling and taking the bumps and stuff like that. But it does hurt, you know, you just got to deal with the pain, you know, when we fall on that mat, it's wooden steel, you know, it's wooden steel, about a half inch, maybe an inch of padding. And then that canvas, and
yeah,
trust me, it don't hurt. It does hurt to fall. But, as far as the training, it was grueling, man. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a young dude or an old dude or an in-between dude, you know, when you do multiple roles and you're doing a lot of cardio, running the ropes, you're taking bumps left and right, you're running 100 miles an hour at the turnbuckle, and you're throwing yourself into the turnbuckle. And I mean, just you're taking falls outside on the concrete or the hardwood, or, you know, it all hurts and it's all grueling, but your body has to build that callus in order to be able to perform like we do.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of hours. It's a lot of hours of doing that, you know, running ropes, cardio, you know, squats, you know, outside of wrestling, you know, you're doing, you know, your own cardio, your own lifting weights. And it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of bumping and just, you know, going through the motions as far as moves and sequences and stuff like that. So, you know, it's hard, man. You know, it's hard. I've heard some fans say that professional wrestlers may just be putting 10 on a 2 when it comes to, you know, how hard and how grueling it is. And, you know,
right.
You hear, you know, stuff like, you know, is this fake or whatever, man. in order for you to truly understand how hard and how grueling it is, I encourage you, even if you want to take it like a Taekwondo class or something, some type of fitness class, go find you a wrestling school and at least go take a bump and you'll be able to see how hard and how grueling it is. One class will tell your tale right away, you know, so.
Yeah, the first time that you put down like 125, 150 for 1 month of classes, and you take that first bump and you're like, you know what, that's good. You keep the rest of my money. Good.
Yeah.
Because I know even we, when I was training at UPW back in the early 2000s, we trained at a boxing gym. And
okay.
They had a ring, and one day we go, and it was a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon, I think, or a Sunday afternoon, and we get there, and a class had just finished up, and so we start warming up, and we're just, you know, we're starting to take some bumps, and we're going, damn, this is brutal. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
What we realized after about 10 minutes of doing brutal drills is that the pin was not taken out. Mm. So it was like it should be a boxing ring. There was no give.
No give.
At all. And then as soon as we pulled the pin and you're starting to just get that little bounce to it, and it's like, oh God, it feels so much better because... Damn, you know, it's like, you know, when you don't expect something and you do that, it's just like, oh man, this is crazy. But you're right, the callus. And I think in some ways what I love about your story in general is the fact that you have a life callus already. You know, you've been through it, so you know what that callus of life feels like and how hard, you know, it can be, but you're able to take it because you've been through a lot. Do you look at that background and history that you've had, do you look at that as a way to be able to teach not only your children, but also fellow wrestlers, you know, who might look up to you a little bit or turn to you for some advice because you have been able to overcome a lot of things in your life?
I mean, that's tough to say because, you know, a lot of people talk about character versus real life person, you know, and, you know, when you see Papa Wesco, you only see the pissed off dude that wants to fight, you know, and just be reckless and disrespectful on television, you know.
But right.
like any other person, you know, a serial killer will go and kill people and just, like, you know, do all of these despicable evil things, but they're still going home and playing with their child. Yeah. As psycho as that sounds, you know, some of them might even still be going home and cooking dinner for their wife and having a great night with their wife, you know, no one knows the wiser. My yeah. point is there's different facets to what you see on television. You know what I mean? So I always want to help my children, you know, and I always want to make sure that my wife feels like she's fully supported and, you know, I'm considerate to her feelings, you know, but when I go out and work, the other half of me comes to light.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you see me on TV not wanting to be around people too much and not wanting nobody to bother me and just being real, like, standoffish, that is kind of true. It's how I am, you know.
Sure.
So my point to saying that is, you know, I unfortunately really don't talk a lot about anything with a lot of the professional wrestlers that are in the industry. You know, the ones that I'm around or the ones that I'm, you know, associated with, the ones that I work with.
Yeah.
You know, it's not to say that I don't want to. I just don't have that. I don't have that little button in me that wants me to go out and just be overly
right.
social and want to help people. You know, I'm just there. So it's like when I come, you know, just I'll stick to myself and they'll stick to themselves. That doesn't mean that if, you know, look, hey, I'll say this for the record. That doesn't mean if any of you cats want to come talk to me, you can't come talk to me. Come talk, holler at me, man. I'll talk back, you know, but I'm not going to go out of my way to try to help people. I'm not going to go out of my way to try to give no kind of advice, nothing like that. For the sake of what I just said, also, I don't feel like I have that right. You know, I'm sure. never going to feel like no kind of veteran or no kind of, you know, person that thinks they're so above somebody that they can come to you and tell you exactly how you should be doing things or let me give you a life lesson, kid, or come here, kid, let me teach you something. I'm just not that guy. So I wish I could tell you, that I'm just some overly helpful dude, but I'm really not, man. So, you know, I mean, my kids will tell you that I help them all the time, you know, but that's a different facet of me. You know what I mean? So
sure. With your size, you know, myself being a big man, I know what it's like to just carry weight around, but yeah. Have you, has it been your whole life, or is it been something that, you know, at a certain point you started packing on pounds, and has it been an advantage for you in terms of the idea if someone looks at you, they pretty much go, yeah, don't fuck with that guy?
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I haven't always been like a you know, I wasn't always the king fat boy, you know. I mean, obviously you're not born, you know, you might be born with a little baby chubby fat, but the years go by, you know, you eat that right up and just like human development. Right. So, you know, I didn't really start getting, let's call it fat. I wasn't getting fat until probably, you know, after high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at like 18, 19, something like that, I started gaining weight, you know. I've always felt comfortable in my own body. It didn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm skinny as hell or if I'm fat as hell. You know, I'm always going to be comfortable with who I am. I'm always going to be comfortable with what I look like. Yep. And I don't really look to other people for approval or anything like that. So you can like me and you cannot like me. I really don't care. Yep. You know, as far as wrestling is concerned, I have my own lane. You understand?
Yeah.
There's a lot of dudes that could be considered fat out here, but nobody's embracing it like me.
Yeah.
Nobody comes to the ring wearing fat boy, king fat boy on their belly.
Yep.
On their gear, on their belly. Nobody's coming out there claiming to be a king fat boy. You know, nobody's embracing it like I am. I feel like I got my own lane, because I'll tell you what, if I went and did like everybody else, you never know. I might get lost in the shuffle. I might not, you know. Because there's a thousand, well, there's tens of thousands, maybe. Yeah, there's tens of thousands, we'll say for the sake of the conversation, of muscle dudes that are in the gym 14 to 16 hours a day. You know, they're taking all the vitamins they need to take, all the creatine that they want. And they're just building their muscles and they want to look like, you know, Greek gods, and they want to have all these feats of strength. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have these daredevils that want to, you know, also keep their bodies nice and tight. So they're in the gym and they're in the gymnastics and all that, doing the flips and everything. And they want to go out there and wow the crowd with their flips and, you know, daredevil feats. And then you have these dudes who are technical and all they want to do is just envelop themselves in, you know, the art of professional wrestling. They want to do technical things and they want to wrap you up and tie you up in knots and just stretch you out. I'm just a dude that comes to the ring and wants to punch you. I want to put boots to you until you stop moving.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I want to maul you until you want to quit. I want to do terrible things to you to make you realize that you should have never gotten in the ring with me in the first place. You know, and I just happen to be the king fat boy, and I'm always going to be comfortable, and I'm always going to wear that fat boy proudly. You know, and I get a lot of guys, you know, on social media telling me that they rock with me because of that, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know, the majority of them are fat dudes just like me. Some of them might not be, but they take what I believe and they use it as something that they can use as fuel for their fire. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm in my own lane right now. I don't think nobody's doing it like me. I don't think nobody is wanting to do it like I'm doing it. And I hope, you know, by the grace of God or whatever it is you guys believe in, you know, that I'm able to take that and elevate myself to the next level and the next level and the next level until I get where I need to go, you know, in wrestling. So,
how important has it been to you, that, you've been able to incorporate your heritage into what you've been doing?
Man, you know, I get, some people might say that I'm doing it because, you know, it's a gimmick and, you know, I got to have this type of persona and I got to do things, you know, a certain way in wrestling or whatever, man. I've always been proud of my heritage and I've always been proud of what I am, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a Latin man, you know. I'm a Puerto Rican man, you know, and I'm always going to be proud of that, you know.
Yeah.
So when I come out to the ring with the Puerto Rican flag around my neck like I have right now, when I have, you know, my Taino heritage on the back of my vest, when I have the Puerto Rican, you know, Scully on the side of my gear or whatever, man, you know, I'm repping for me. And I'm repping for what I am, and I'm repping for the family that raised me up. But I'm also repping for the people, man. You know,
yeah.
I mean, not since I think it was Los Boricuas, right? Los Boricuas with Savio Vega,
yep.
You know, and the other cats. I'm sorry, my mind's drawing a blank right now. But them cat, there was like the last like faction. Yep. A set of wrestlers that actually wore, you know, the Puerto Rican flags and actually had that type of, you know, heritage brought to the ring, you know, that hasn't been done until like recently. You know, you have Proud and Powerful, you have the Bodega, you know, me and Danny, you know, we come out with the flags and we come out with all our gear decked out in Puerto Rican, you know, heritage and I like it, you know. It makes me proud knowing that other people are proud to do what we do as proud, you know, Boricuas, as proud Puerto Ricans. So, you know, to just roll it back, I don't do it because of a gimmick. You know, this
right.
is just me, you know, giving honor and paying respect to where I came from and where my ancestors came from.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Do you think Puerto Rico is at the point where they might consider statehood?
I don't know, man. I don't really get into like politics, and I really don't get into that type of stuff, man. I most times I can't see past my nose, man. You know, like I fly by the seat of my pants in a lot of ways, man. You know, and I really don't, you know, I really don't think too much about that. Now, if I had to, I would say that we've been a territory of the United States of America for quite a while.
Yep.
And the topic of conversation of statehood has been something that has come up several times, you know, throughout the decades. Do I believe that it would be a good thing? I think that, you know, from an evolutionary standpoint, that it would be the most logical thing for Puerto Rico to become the 51st state of the United States. 51st? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Of the United States of America. And I mean, the reality is we can already, you know, we already have a lot of the benefits that a United States citizen has. I can come and go as I please, to be quite honest with you, from Puerto Rico back to the States.
Right.
You know, We all have the same president, so you know. So it's
true.
You know, it's why not? You know, it'd be a logical step for all parties involved. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, considering even like Washington D.C., it's like it makes no sense. It's like everyone's
just being
there.
A district. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, where do you see yourself? In terms of if you're given the opportunities to move up on a, you know, a national stage, whether it be a Ring of Honor, Impact, you know, and so forth, going on up to AEW or WWE. Where do you see yourself, you know, in terms of your longevity, and would your wife be behind you if, let's say, NXT calls? Would you guys consider moving to somewhere like Orlando to further your career?
So I'm gonna answer this two ways. All right.
Yeah.
The first way I'm gonna answer this is, I told you before, I don't see past my nose. You know, like I take things one step at a time. I'm very happy being with the United Wrestling Network. I'm very happy with being with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I'm very happy showing up on Tuesday nights for Primetime Live. I want, you know, a lot of people. So it's like, so remember I said, you know, you could find a little bit of wrestling in anything, right? You know, basketball, you know, whatever. So let's take basketball, you know. Right now, it's all about the super groups, you know. It's all about getting the best people on the team.
Yeah.
So that you can win championships, right? Whereas in the 80s, you had, you know, in early 90s, you had single stars building teams around them and saying, I'm here with my team, you show up with your team, and we see who's going to win, right?
Yeah.
That was a great heyday. That was a great era, because that's when people were sticking with what they believed in, and they were sticking with their team.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm interested in sticking with my team. I'm interested in seeing where I can go with the United Wrestling Network. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to jump, you know, to another promotion, knowing that at any moment I might get an opportunity to, you know, wrestle for the Heritage Championship.
Yeah.
I might get it, you know, knowing that I can get an opportunity to stand toe-to-toe against whoever is going to be the first United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
You know, I need to focus right now on these tag belts, making sure that these mean something and these are carried in a way that haven't been done before for the United Wrestling Network and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. So right now I'm not looking to go nowhere else, you know, and I don't know what I would do if somebody was to call right now, because I'm not a super group type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, I want to build something somewhere, and I really feel like United Wrestling Network is the place for me to do it.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the coin, the other way, you know, the potential is real, right? I mean, if AEW, for instance, was to call, or MLW or ROH or somebody like that was to call, and they were to give me some type of offer, I would have to flirt with it. I would have to explore it. I would have to think about it logically. You know, I don't speak for everybody else, you know, and I don't want to assume everyone else is a certain way, you know, but you got some dudes that might jump at the chance of doing it just because it's the name, you know, and they want to go on social media and say that they do this and they're doing this now when they're signed here. And, you know, it's just it's a beautiful thing. And I encourage them dudes, you know, and I hope that they get all the success that they want. But I'm not one of them dudes. I'm not going to jump at the chance of anything. You know, I want to think about it. I want to see how my family fits in. I want to see how I'm going to fit in. You know, I'm going to see what I believe is going to happen to me once I get there. You know, so there's a lot of variables that I have to consider before I would have to jump at the chance. You know, but right now, I'm content with being a part of the United Wrestling Network. You know, I mean, there's a lot of hoss fights that I got waiting for me. You know, when we get Primetime Live back, you know, Chris Dickinson, you know, he's quite a few times into the United Wrestling Network, as well as Trevor Murdoch, as well as, you know, I mean, there's so many people, you know, you got James Storm, you got Eli Drake, you know, and then there's the NWA Association with the United Wrestling Network, which I've been a huge fan. You want to talk Popo's drink of choice when it comes to professional wrestling. The NWA is my drink of choice. I've been watching the NWA for as long as I can remember.
Yep.
You know, and just to be associated with the NWA is exciting for me. You know, there's a lot of championships there that if I get the chance, I'm gonna you know, go hard on them. You know, Trevor Murdoch with that national title is one of them. You know, Elijah Burke with that TV title.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, like I said, I'm happy being a part of the United Wrestling Network umbrella, but you never know, you know.
Sure. I think that one of the advantages you have in terms of that is the fact that, you know, a lot of guys, when they're coming up, they don't have anything else really in their life. You know, they're just focused on pro wrestling and that's it. Whereas you have a family, you have kids, you have a life, and then you have your professional life. And I think that's an advantage, being that, you know, you're not going to have to get that, you know, overexcited. You know, some kids will just jump at the opportunity. You know, look at, you know, sometimes you'll get more polishing, you'll get a little more experience or something. But a lot of these guys, you go, you get into the system, you get eaten up, and you get spit right back out. And I think,
yeah, that's true.
I think your approach is right on. I also love the fact that you brought up the NWA. Do you remember as a kid turning on the television set and seeing the flags in the arena of the NWA, that old dark, you know, and it just had such a different real wrestling feeling to it as opposed to, you know, the WWF, which... The characters, sure, you liked, but man, it was a totally different. It was theatrics as compared to, you know, wrestling. Do you remember that as a kid and getting into the NWA like that? And did you follow into WCW?
Yeah, I did. You know, when I was younger, you know, just I caught the tail end of the, you know, the studio wrestling on television.
Yeah.
But, you know, just being just like this wrestling, just getting so engulfed in wrestling, you know, becoming like, I guess we'll say for the sake of the phrase, a wrestling nerd, you know, just getting, you know, just going back on YouTube and going back on the internet and looking up the old school, you know, studio TV of the NWA. Man, I fell in love with that. You know, I did fall in love with that, you know, and NWA, you know, led to the WCW, and that, yeah, I did continue on, you know, watching when it became WCW. But when the NWA came back, you know, a couple years ago, and that studio wrestling came back, you know, I got excited again, you know, and I wanted to be a part of it. You know, I still want to be a part of it. You know, when we come back from this pandemic and NWA starts up again, you know, I'm hoping that I get the opportunity, you know, to show up on NWA television. Yeah. and you know, do what I do. But I mean, let's be honest, man. You know, the NWA stopped doing the studio television stuff, you know, decades ago. But Dave Marquez, he brought it to light when he was doing championship wrestling from Hollywood, you know. Even, you know, from way back when championship wrestling from Hollywood was associated with the NWA, they were doing TV studio-like, you know, programming. So it's exciting for me to be a part of that as well. You know, that whole studio, you know, environment is just something I grew up on and kind of fell in love with. So it gets me excited when we see it come back, you know, through Primetime Live, through championship wrestling from Hollywood and through now, you know, with the NWA and how it was doing. So, yeah, man, you know, I can't wait for them to get back.
It's really interesting because I think that when I watch your promos, when you guys are with the single announcer, you know, having that feel of those old school promos, what's captivating is that you fit in to that mold so perfectly. You know, it's, and I think it's, well, it you know, it comes down to A, the look that you have, the presence, you know, and B, the seriousness. And I think sometimes,
right.
You know, I think sometimes it gets lost when when someone is trying to convey their character, they get, you know, a little, either it's a little too over the top, or maybe they're just not hitting the mark on it. You just bring that presence of it, and it allows, when you're with Danny, it allows Danny to be Danny. And that is what makes you guys as a team fucking brilliant. You know?
So, I hate saying this because I feel like it's like a, some type of cliche nowadays, but I mean, I think it's true in this sense that a lot of wrestlers will tell you, oh, my character is like me turned up all the way to 1,000, you know, the volume's all the way up on me.
Right.
I don't want to say the volume's all the way up on me, but Papa Wesco is in front of the cameras, not too far off from the way I function in my real off-camera life. You know, I'm aggressive on television. I'm aggressive in real life, you know, and aggression doesn't necessarily mean to be negative, to be meant as negative. You know, I mean, you know, I'm aggressive when it comes to, you know, how passionate I am for my children and making sure that these cats, you know, grow up to be, you know, something better than me. You know, I'm aggressive in the passion that I have for, you know, my wife and trying to make sure that she understands that I'm doing the best that I can, even when I fall short, I'm aggressive in everything I approach, you know, whether that's positive aggression or negative aggression. So when you see me on television doing what I do, you know, whether it be a facial expression or whether it be, you know, something I say or whether it be just something that gets you kind of excited about me, you know, people need to understand that it's just me being me. You know, I don't practice in front of the mirror, you know, how to look hard. You know, I don't practice, you know, from a script of what I'm going to say when I say it. You know, everything that I do comes from the heart and it comes from my real passion. It comes from a real place. You know, and, you know, it's like I said, I don't see past my nose, man. So, you know, if anything that I'm saying, anything that I do, anything that gets people, you know, wanting to see me, it's in the moment, you know, and I think it's important. I think a lot of cats, you know, in my opinion, you know, in my humble opinion, you know, cause I don't know nothing from anything, you know, I don't claim to be no teacher and no all knowing nothing, but in my opinion, you know, a lot of cats, they try to make themselves look so good in front of the camera that sometimes they overproduce themselves. Yeah. You know, they want to make sure that they say the right word. They want to make sure that they do the right move. They want to make sure that their taunt or whatever it is that they do in front of the camera is the best, you know, and sometimes when you overthink, sometimes when you over, when you over practice, that's when the mistakes happen. You know, because when you over practice, when you overthink, you get nervous. And when you get nervous, you start making mistakes.
Man. Yeah.
One of my partners always say dots, D-O-T-S. And he has that on his shirts and whatnot. And the dots stands for don't overthink shit. And that really is like a true statement. If people would just slow down, you know what I mean? Slow down, use their heart instead of their brain. You know, I think a lot of people will have more depth and they would be able to expand more on whatever it is that they're trying to portray and progress and evolve, you know, when it comes to like character and whatnot. So, everything that I do, man, it's all 100% real, man. I mean, I don't say nothing on television that I probably wouldn't say, you know, in a real life situation.
For those fans who are not following you yet on social media, where's the best places to check you out, the handles to follow? And also, where can they get something like that sweet Bodega World Order shirt, man?
Oh, so look, this it's actually the Boricua.
Oh, Boricua. Okay.
You know, one of the homies from another podcast. This is his, you know.
Wow. That's nice.
And, you know, I you can get the shirt. I don't know if they're selling the shirt, but, you know, it was given to me as a gift. But, nice. I mean, for my own merch, You know, I do. Okay. So I've been procrastinating, really, really procrastinating. It's in the plans for me to open up a pro wrestling tees, you know, store.
Yeah.
And I've been, you know, I keep getting pushed to do so. It's just that me procrastinating. I finally got a bunch of different designs. You know, we're going to get those uploaded and we're going to get a store going. Once that happens, excuse me, I'll start promoting the hell out of it on all forms of social media that I have. And hopefully, you know, people will want to buy them, you know?
Yeah.
I've spent my entire career as a bad dude, you know, as a heel, you know? And a portion of my thought process was given to me through my training in that, you know, what do you want a heel's merchandise for? So I never really got around to, you know, putting merch out there,
but, sure.
You know, I guess it's time. So I'm gonna stop procrastinating and get that thing popping, man. As far as social media is concerned, you know, like I said, I don't really talk to a lot of people. I like to keep to myself. But if you approach me, you know, if you talk to me, I will talk back. So, you know, holler at me on social media if you want to, man. Instagram is Papa Wesco. Facebook is Papa Wesco. And Twitter is Papo_Esco. So I'm always on. So, you know, holler at me.
As we kind of wrap up, you know, you brought up basketball. Who is your team, brother?
Golden State Warriors, man. Hey, I'll tell you what. I've been a fan of Golden State when we was ass, like just straight trash. I mean, Bobby Sura on the team, type of trash. You know what I mean? I've been a fan of the Golden State Warriors ever since I've been a kid. You know, and I took a lot of beatings, you know, because of them cats. But I rode with them. You know, I was an Oakland, California sports team fanatic. You know, the A's, my team, the Raiders, the Warriors. But the basketball is my favorite. Is my favorite sport. I watch more basketball than I would ever watch wrestling.
Yeah.
The Golden State Warriors, man. When we started winning, you know, when we won those championships, we got the right chemistry. And I was all too happy, man. I felt vindicated, man. You know, it's like so many years of getting trashed on. And now for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, we developed into, you know, some would say a dynasty. I saw them last night. We played the Nuggets and we beat them. It was the first game of the preseason. But I was able to see what we got, you know, while Draymond is out, while Clay is out. A lot of good kids. I'm excited for the future, you know. Yeah. A lot of good you would consider them to be veterans now, you know, like Bazemore coming back. So and doing it with us again. So I'm excited to see what happens, man. Basketball's back again. I'm happy.
My biggest fear is that the way that the season basically just ended, you know, handful of weeks ago, and now they're already starting up in preseason. I just hope that the injury machine doesn't start, you know, putting some of the best players, because you know it was really hard. Steph has been one of my favorites. I couldn't believe when he fell in the draft to Golden State. Like my jaw, I was sitting on my couch, my jaw was going, like just gaping, going, "Wow, this team just became relevant." And that was before people were hyping Steph up at all. You know, he was a great college player that a lot of people didn't pay attention to.
No, not at all.
And it was just wonderful to see, you know, the buildup. But having him out last year.
Yeah, it hurt.
Oh,
it hurt.
Man.
Clay too.
Clay, oh.
You know?
Oh, man.
It was a terrible year. But, you know, I mean, See, the thing about it is, for me, I knew what we were going to be experiencing going into that season. So it was just like, okay, let's see what we got, and let's see what type of changes we're going to need to become a factor. Because, I mean, everyone talks about the Warriors being like a super team or whatever. That's bullshit, dude. I'm going to tell you, like, everything you said about Steph Curry right now, getting drafted so late, you know, the same could be said, not really, you know, being not really a factor. Same could be said for Klay. Same could be said for Draymond. You know, our team was built off of, I don't want to say second-rate players, but, like, you, in the grand scheme of things, you can call him somewhat of a second-rate player. You know, it was the right chemistry when Steve Kerr at the helm. He was able to turn us into a championship team, you know. And then after we became the championship team, you got guys like, you know, Kevin Durant, who says, yo, these cats are going to be a factor for a little bit of time. Yeah. So I might as well go over there and try to help them even, you know, better themselves, you know. The only real, like, blue chip star that we've ever had on that team during that run was Kevin Durant in my mind. You know, everybody else, you know, they were developed into the elite players that they are, you know. Whereas Kevin Durant, he came out the draft, you know, an elite player. You know, he started making moves right away. You know, so that's really the only, like, superstar caliber person that we've had on that team during that run. So I think we have a different going into this season. It looks like we're not going to be so much the splash. We're going to be more of the, you know, the pick and roll, the hit the bucket, you know, hard, attack the bucket hard type of team. But Steve Kerr, he's smart, man. He knows exactly what, you know, type of changes we need to make. So, I'm hoping this season we get an opportunity to see some playoff time. Do I believe that we will win a championship this year? Probably not, but you never know. I mean, the stars could all be aligned, and we could win another championship this year, but I don't think so. I feel like within the next 3 or 4 years, we'll see another championship, you know. So you ain't heard the last of the Warriors.
Oh, no, man. I think that – and, you know, one of the nice things, too, because – I grew up in the era where my first memories of basketball were Magic and Bird. And then I grew up in Chicago. So I remember Jordan as a rookie. And then, of course, you know, through the championships and I've always been a Lakers fan because, you know, Magic was like one of my first, you know, heroes at like 6, 7 years old. It was like, oh shit. What's interesting to me is that during that whole time period of the 80s and the early 90s, you didn't hear much about Golden State except for, you know, like, Manupal was there for, you know, a little bit and,
cup of coffee,
You know, so they got, you know, occasionally, like Chris Mullin, you know, you got a little focus, but it was sad to see that basically they were, you know, crapped on for so long, and then they got competitive and then they got really good, and it's so interesting now to see them getting crapped on again, but this time for the whole different opposite reason, you know, oh, they're too dominant now, you know, when people say shit like that. And it's just, it's fascinating to see the growth of the game and the growth of that team. And I still think to this day, the smartest thing that they ever did was hire Steve Kerr. Because Steve Kerr is, oh my God, you know. It blows my mind. And, you know, you talk about a winner. When the Bulls got him, I knew that something was about to happen for the second three-peat, because when they played Cleveland, Kerr was always one of those guys that you just knew that if he got the ball and he's shooting a three, it's good. You know, he's doing a jump shot. It's good.
not too many people realize that, man. Yeah. Steve Kerr, when he was playing, you know, you can tell. I mean, anybody who knows anything about basketball and anything that anybody that watches basketball on a regular basis, they understand, you know, the recognition of players that have a basketball IQ.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr had a basketball IQ when he was playing. And not too many people know this, and I don't understand why they wouldn't, but, you know, they should know that he played under two of the greatest coaches that ever coached basketball. I mean, when you have to play multiple seasons under Phil Jackson and under Greg Popovich, you there's no way that you're not going to learn something, you know. And when he transitioned to coaching, you know, and came to Golden State, you knew that he was going to be fine. I mean, I was very confident. I mean, don't take anything away from Mark Jackson. I feel like Mark Jackson set the foundation for what the Warriors were going to be going into this, you know, championship run. It just wasn't in the cards for him to say, you know. And when Steve Kerr came in, I think Steve Kerr, he walked right into a good thing, and he was able to fine tune what they were doing. But I mean, we shouldn't erase the fact that Mark Jackson really laid the foundation for what the Warriors were going to be for the next, you know, however many years it was, like 5 years or whatever it was. Yeah. And, you know, man, I mean, he should be commended for that as well as Steve Kerr. But Steve Kerr, man, he was under the learning tree of some fabulous like elite high profile people.
Yeah,
you know. So
awesome, brother. Well, I you know, I encourage anyone who hasn't seen your work, you know, maybe watching this, you know, some part of the country that doesn't follow West Coast wrestling as much, or somewhere around the world that, you know, might be getting exposed to you for the first time. You know, I encourage everyone to watch your work, because there's something special about the way you present yourself. And I think a lot of you know, you've said it, and it's the reality of, you know, it's who you are. And one of the things that I can honestly say is that the reason it works and conveys so well is because when the camera looks in your eyes, there's no bullshit there. It's 100%. And that's fucking amazing, man. And I just, you know, I hope that people start to realize and get aware of you guys as a tag team right now, but as well as, you know, following, you know, if you know, Danny goes one way, you go another way at some point, continuing to follow your career, because it's genuine, and it's very hard sometimes to, you know, find someone who you can relate to as a genuine person, as someone who might have the same experiences that, you know, you've had in your life, someone who's as proud of the, you know, the Puerto Rican heritage as you are.
Yeah.
It's just, it's fucking great, man. And, I know the first time I saw you, man, I knew something was up, man.
Look, man, if there was one way to describe me, I would revert back to what I told you earlier in the beginning of this podcast, is if you put your mind to something, you could do anything. You know, you just got to put the work in. You got to make sure that you do everything you can to get where you need to go when it comes to what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't claim to be nothing. You know, I don't claim to be better than anybody. What I do claim is that you give me the opportunity to stand next to an elite person, like maybe a Mike Bennett or a Chris Dickinson or a Trevor Murdoch or a Eli Drake or a Nick Aldis or whoever. Yeah. You know, if you put me across them and you put a mic in my hand, they're going to remember me. They're not going to forget easily who I am. If that bell rings and we start going at it, at the end of it all, whether I win or lose, they're going to remember me. They're not going to they're not going to forget me after that, you know, and that's just my whole MO. Like I told you before, and I've said it multiple times during this thing, you know, I don't see past my nose. So, you know, I feel like that mentality is a everything, nothing to lose, everything to gain mentality. And that's really how it is, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue to go out there. I'm going to continue to do my best. As soon as I see that red light for record, I'm going to give you my best, and I'm only going to get better, you know? I'm only going to get better. And I hope that people see that, you know, yeah. I'm just a regular dude. You know, I don't have the best body. I don't have the best athleticism. I don't have the best, you know, technical knowledge of wrestling, but I will make you feel me 100%. And, you know, I hope people react.
Yeah.
You know, because that's really at the end of the day what I'm looking for. Whether you like me and you cheer me, whether you hate me and you boo me, whatever the case may be, if you're reacting to me, then you know, it makes me happy because I know that I'm doing my job, and I know that you're entertained. So, you know, I'm gonna keep doing what I do, man. Everybody, I'm gonna keep doing what I do. I'm gonna keep showing up on television, wherever it is. Right now, it's United Wrestling Network Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I'm gonna keep causing a ruckus. I'm gonna keep being disrespectful with these people, and I'm gonna make you understand and remember the name of the King Fat Boy Papa Wesco. And that's what it is, man. That's what it is.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. Remember to download, subscribe, share, listen to everything that we do for the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And please check out the social media of Popco. Popo, why can't I talk sometimes?
It's all good, man. Hey, people do that all the time. I'm either Paco or I'm Popo. One or the other. You know what I mean? And I'm never Popo, but hey, just get it right. All right, Papo. You know, Popo.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Till next time. Have a great one.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.